And welcome to another episode of Jumping Ahead on the Life Lessons, the Gintama Manga Cast feed, where I get to talk about arcs that I'm probably not going to cover because Viz probably ain't going to get to them. So I might as well just cover them now, especially since, you know, I got my new friend John on, otherwise known as Lightung VG on Twitter. How you doing, John?
Doing pretty good.
Now, for those who don't know, I've had John on the show before on Life Lessons proper, but I figured since John just happens to be, you know, watching Gintama for the first time and he's been getting to a lot of my favorite arcs, I figured I'd take this opportunity to talk about those arcs with him. Last time we talked about the Thorny arc, and now we are going to talk about the Gintama arc. If you haven't watched up to episode 253 of the anime, I suggest you probably don't listen to this if you don't want to be spoiled. Otherwise, enjoy. So, John, you watched the Gintama arc a couple days back at this point.
Yes.
And so, did you know anything about the arc going in at all? I'm just curious to know that.
Well, I had seen screenshots of Kentoki because, you know, that's a pretty popular arc, and I knew that this was an arc where Kentoki got replaced, but that's all I knew.
So I guess how did you feel about it watching the first episode?
Well, fortunately, before I had started the arc, Nada had told me about how the anime handles Gintoki's reason for being away differently than the manga.
Yes, I believe I discussed that with you on the last episode we did.
Oh wait, no, that wasn't Nada, that was you. Nada told me why they had to do that. So I don't like how the anime handled it, but I know they kind of couldn't help it because, as Nada told me, the production committee wouldn't let the staff do the Gintama arc directly after Thorny in the second season.
Mm-hmm. See, honestly, I kind of understand that because, you know, just for those who may not have listened to the last episode of Jumping Ahead, I discussed with John that in the manga, Gintama happens right after Thorny because in the manga, the Shinsengumi keep Gintoki to basically interrogate him for however long, and that's why he's gone for so long, and within that time frame is when Kentoki starts to take over the Ajabskian household, and that's how those two arcs are connected. Whereas in the anime, there's basically a 6 month gap in between the 2011 season of Gintama and the Gintama End Chosen, or extra innings, as I think it's roughly translated as. So that's why in the anime, Gin is all like, "Oh, are you guys upset because I was gone for 6 months? Oh, it doesn't matter. Haha, I'm drunk. Whatever." So I mean, I don't know. Personally, I kind of like that. I don't know if I like it better than his reasoning why he was gone in the manga, but I kind of like that excuse in the anime because it's like, "Oh, well, show's been gone for 6 months. I don't know why I should be here." So I guess to me personally, I find that kind of funny because it directly like connects to the show being gone for that long. So I don't know. I found that kind of funny because I found it sort of meta, I guess, if you want to call it that. I don't even know if I'm using that word right, but that's just me personally.
I mean, I found it funny. It was kind of like the 2 years arc at the beginning of Gintama season 2.
Yeah.
But the thing is, this was an arc where Gintoki, we were supposed to sympathize with him, and that made it where you're not so quick to do it because he's just like, ha ha ha, whatever, I left my job, responsibilities, and friends for 6 months, as opposed to being forced to be away for probably, I'd say, about a week or so.
I mean, I can kind of see that, but, like, I guess I don't fully agree just because, like, If we didn't have that component where, like, I guess I'm trying to figure out how to like word my argument here, because I feel like, yeah, we're supposed to kind of sympathize with Gin, but also at the same time, you know, the whole reason that Gin and Shinpachi create Gintoki is essentially because, you know, they already think that Gin isn't exactly like the best boss. So I feel like you kind of have to have that reasoning. Otherwise, I don't see the reason why this whole arc would really happen in the first place.
Yeah, that's true, but still, it would feed into Shinpachi's and Kagura's reasoning for getting a new boss, just him being away for a long time for any reason.
I guess so. I think this just goes back to the thing where, like, you know, because I think this is similar to, you know, when we were on Twitter discussing, like, the scandal arc with Gin accidentally sleeping with everybody and that being a prank or whatnot. It just goes back to when I think, oh, well, we're supposed to sympathize with Gin or whatever, and oh man, don't you feel sorry for him? And I do agree with that, you know, I think in both cases, I think we are supposed to sympathize with Gin, but also at the same time, like, I feel like people sort of forget that Gin's already kind of an asshole, or maybe not so much an asshole as that, you know, his personality isn't exactly the best, and he still doesn't really... I mean, it makes sense for Gintama, because nobody really treats anybody super well, usually. But I feel like in Gin's case, you know, because, you know, even Tama kind of makes a point in the beginning of the arc about how, you know... which actually leads into, like, one of my favorite parts about the arc, is that she talks about how Gin may not have been the best boss, and he may not have treated everybody super well, and he'd always argue with everybody about stupid shit, but, you know, compared to Kintoki, he was still more of a person. Like, his personality was real, that he wasn't fake. Like, him as a person, I guess, shined so much more than, you know, whatever a gold paint that they use for Kintoki, or that's the metaphor, or whatever. I'm probably not wording that the right way, but I think you probably get my point.
But the ironic part is that silver actually dulls when it gets stained, but gold doesn't.
I guess that is kind of ironic. I guess just leaving that aside, was there anything you wanted to talk about in particular about the arc?
Well, as you were talking about, I loved the time that Tama got, and they gave her a good reason to be in the arc, and... You know, she's one of my favorite characters, probably my second favorite female character in the series.
Ooh, wow, that's saying a lot.
Well, I mean, I have a soft spot for robots, but I loved that she stayed by Gintoki's side, even though she was the only character capable of speech who was aware of what Kintoki was doing.
Yeah, I think it wasn't until this arc that I really, I always liked Tama. But I don't think I really started to love Tama until about this arc, where because this the Kintama arc is kind of important to me in a lot of different ways, and one of them being that this arc really showed me how much I appreciate Tama as a character, because her and Gintoki's relationship I feel like it's a little underrated. I feel like their relationship is very special. And I feel like, you know, because of stuff like, because there are a lot of great callbacks in this arc, especially with Tama and her little screw that Gin bought her a little earlier in the series. I like how that kind of comes back into play, and that's a really great callback as well. That was like, oh yeah, that episode. There are a lot of really great moments like that I really appreciate in this arc, especially later on.
Yeah, she got some great dialogue, and we hadn't heard much from her in a while. Honestly, I loved her as a character since the Fuyo arc, because she was just such a great character, and I'm glad to see her getting more screen time later on. I'm afraid that when we shift into the serious arc, some of my favorite, maybe not tertiary, but not exactly primary characters, the secondary ones, I'm afraid they're not going to get much time anymore.
I mean, that's a totally fair thing to be afraid of, because Gintama has a lot of characters, and it's obviously got to be really hard, you know, as the series comes to its end, you know, that you know, some of your favorites might not show up, because hey, you never know. Like, as far as the manga goes, you know, Gintama could end tomorrow for all we know. We don't know. Jump is just ruthless like that. But thankfully, so far, it looks like, as far as the manga goes, it looks like they're giving Sorachi time to try to wrap up his story properly, it seems like. But, so that's always a good thing. But, was there anything else you wanted to talk about in particular at all?
I liked the way that it ended. I thought it was a great ending, but it wasn't what I was expecting. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but when I was watching the arc and Gintoki was trying to come up with the plan of how to jog everyone's memories and have them remember him, kind of reminded me of the episode of Rick and Morty where these parasites come into the family, the
yeah,
main
I know
characters,
what you're talking about.
Yeah, and insert themselves into the family's memory so they think they have all these family members that don't exist. And Rick is able to snap everyone out of the trance by having them remember the bad memories about each other, whereas the aliens could only inject good memories. And that's kind of how I was expecting Gintoki to remind everyone that he was the real deal, because Gintoki was like this nice guy, this great guy that never did anything wrong, where Gintoki, on an episodic basis, screws people over.
Yeah, I kind of like how we get a lot of really great sentimental moments out of this arc. And in an arc, you really wouldn't expect it because, you know, it starts off so comedic, like, uh-oh, the main character's been replaced. Oh, no, the show's different? This isn't Gintama. What's going on? Like, that was another thing, too. I really wasn't expecting this arc to get so sentimental at all, which is another reason why I love it. Actually, just a little factoid. I actually have an issue of Shonen Jump with the chapter of Gintama in there. It's the part of the arc where Gintoki's trying to help the girls in particular, Sachan, Kyubei, and Tsukuyo, help him remember. And it ends with that line: "If I can't trust my friend, I'll trust the tears of a friend," or something like that.
Yes, I think they said, "I don't know which friend to trust in this situation, so I will trust the tears of a friend."
Which, that's a really great line.
That was one of my favorite scenes where all three of the characters got their memories jogged. Tsukuyo was reminded of... What was she reminded of in that scene?
She was reminded of your least favorite scene in Gintama, actually.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a funny scene. I just didn't like how it interrupted the flow. I don't hate it, and it's definitely not my least favorite scene, but yeah, the whole kunai thing, and they're both trying to play it cool. It's funny, but it kind of really interrupts the flow in a very tense moment, and one that introduces a major character.
I just like to make all my guests sound bad. yeah, she was reminded of that, and then Kyubei was reminded of the scene from when they were all on that group date where Gintoki tries to keep her from falling off the blimp or whatever, holding her hand, and then Sachan's reminded of sealing Gin's underwear and throwing up a lot, I guess.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I didn't remember that.
Obviously, the scene in the middle with Sachan landing on Gin, like, the first time they meet, like, way earlier on.
Yeah.
I think the parts on the side there were supposed to be kind of a joke, but
mm-hmm.
I love Yu Kobayashi, her voice actor, so much. She really makes that character. It gets to a point where, like, when I hear her in other things, when she yells, I can't help but not hear Sachan. So, like, when I first watched Attack on Titan, because she actually voices Sasha, the potato girl or whatever, and when she starts yelling, I just can't help but think, oh, hey, that's Sacha.
Oh, yeah, I watched the first half of season one of Attack on Titan, but that was, like, years before I even started Gintama, so I wouldn't have known.
Actually, speaking of Sacha and Tsukuyo, that was something I remember I thought was really interesting at the time, because I think before Gintama, we hadn't really seen Tsukuyo and Sacha really interact too much together. So, from like this point on, they're like, you could kind of consider them kind of mutuals, because, you know, they both kind of do ninja stuff, so they just kind of, you kind of see them work together here and there after this arc, and I find that kind of interesting that they, you know, they have enough in common to where I guess they're kind of friends, but they're not exactly, you know, besties or whatever. So I find their relationship kind of interesting from here on out. That was something I remember that kind of struck me the first time I watched this arc. Like, oh, I guess they're friends. Oh, that's interesting.
So it's not like Katsura and Kyubey where they get into fights over who is going to be the dumb, long, black-haired character.
No. And that's something I always found kind of interesting whenever that's brought up, because I feel like sometimes I agree with Katsura on that, but other times I feel like he's kind of grasping at straws, which I think is probably supposed to be part of the joke. But no, yeah, Kyubey and Tsukuyo and Sachan, yeah, just have this weird relationship that I'm like, I'm okay with, honestly. I don't really see a problem with it at all. I'm like, okay, that's a duo that I like. Gintama's really good at giving me stuff that I didn't know I wanted, and that's a thing I didn't know I wanted, but I'm glad I got. Along with like Katsura and Hasegawa just being together for no reason.
And Katsura's like, oh yes, old friend. And Hasegawa's like, I don't know you.
we talked maybe once.
That time when we went to that island for vacation.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I guess another thing I really like about this arc is Kintoki obviously serves as a great foil to Gintoki, because, you know, I like a lot of the observations that Otai makes about Kintoki, in where after Tama's attacked, you know, Kintoki goes out of his way to rally everybody Kabukicho, which, you know, normally in any normal circumstance, you know, that'd be normal, you know, when I feel like it'd be normal for, like, if a friend of yours were attacked, you'd want to get some kind of, you want to get back at the attacker, you'd want to find whoever was responsible. I feel like that's a normal reaction. You know, you'd want to get justice for your friend, because they're your friend, obviously. Yeah, but I like Otai's observations about, like, you know, even though, oh, well, yeah, this is just what you would do, like, this isn't how Kintoki would act, you know, Kintoki would, like, go behind everybody's back and try to take care of things by himself, because he's just like that.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to burden other people with his whole plan.
Yeah, and I like her observations there, because I feel like having Kintoki around really just kind of shows you, really does a great job of showcasing Gin's character. I guess, like, the other thing, the biggest thing I want to talk about is, I guess, just probably my favorite line in the entire show, and not just this arc, is when Gin talks about how, every last idiot in the show is the main character.
I loved how that was the message of this arc, and it's not one that I necessarily think had to be said, because it speaks for itself. You can't have Gintama without any of the members of the supporting cast. They're all so important, so integral to the show, that it wouldn't be the same without them.
That's true. And I feel like with you saying that, now I feel kind of silly, because that was part of the reason why I loved this arc so much and why it means so much to me, because I didn't really think about the show like that until then. So I don't know why it didn't click for me then. Like, it's one thing to, like, you know, like, of course I agree with you, it doesn't need to be said, but, like, for me in particular, you know, here, like, it's one thing, like, feeling that way, but then, like, actually hearing that being said is a whole other thing, because it's, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, oh, well, when you say it, not, like, it feels real. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, hearing Gin say that made me think, maybe just kind of realize, oh, wow, like, I actually do care about all these characters, and I didn't realize it until now? That's weird. So I don't know, like, yeah, this arc just means so much to me, and where, like, this was basically the point in the show where I actually had to start watching weekly. So I watched all of this as it was airing weekly, and that was a fun experience, because I really didn't know where it was going, and I certainly wasn't expecting to be hit in the gut with the fucking, like, Toy Story 3 type ending near the end, where you think, oh my god, Gin and the others might be dying, I don't know. That moment where, like, Gin's trying to keep Kintoki's hypnotic waves from trying to destroy all of Kabukicho or whatever, and he's just like, oh, I just I wish I could have seen my friends again. And then they all show up, and then the fucking ending song starts playing, and then I start sobbing every time. Like, if there's any moment in Gintama that's like guaranteed to make me cry every time I watch it, it's always that scene. I cannot watch that scene without crying. It's literally impossible.
Well, it made me tear up, but it certainly didn't make me cry as much as the...
Well, I'm a big, dumb, emotional sap, so it's really easy to make me cry.
Well, I mean, so am I. I cry at some pretty stupid things in the show, if you ask me.
But no, yeah, that scene had just such an impact on me the first time I watched it that it's just impossible for me to not feel anything. And for me to not at least tear up. I don't know. I think it's because of the music that makes me cry too. And I think that just shows how good some of the music is in Gintama. That it just sort of elicits an emotion out of you. But I guess, were you expecting the anime to change at all? I guess we could talk about that a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. When we got to that scene and the credits started rolling, I was just confused. I was like, "Is that's it? What the fuck kind of ending is that?" I guess that's why I wasn't crying, because I was just confused as to what was going on. And then Man Thomas started, and I was like, "Oh, okay, I get it now."
I think the thing is, like, see, this is what's weird too. So you want to hear something really weird, is that this scene actually made me sad even before I got into Gintama. And let me explain. So there was a point where maybe I had like read a volume of Gintama and like I just never got around to reading anymore. And there was a time where when this arc was running in Jump that, you know, obviously this was, obviously, the Scanlations at the time would be up to this point, too. And I'm pretty sure, I think, Bomber would still be translating at the time. And I remember hearing a lot of people at the time going, oh, no, Gintama, is it ending? I don't know. And then I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So I hear people talk about it. So I look up the latest chapter. And sure enough, it was the chapter where Gin and everybody are huddled together. And that's how the chapter ends. And I'm just like, oh, Gintama's ending. Huh, that's for some reason that makes me sad. So in a way, like, it's weird that I had it's weird to think that I had an emotional connection to Gintama even before I started Gintama proper. So that scene is so good and so emotional, it almost made me cry and I didn't even know what was going on.
That sounds like something I'd do.
Because that's just such a weird connection that I have with that moment in particular. It's funny how life works. I don't know. What did you think of the ending of the arc?
I'll tell you what it immediately reminded me of. It reminded me of... Oh, wait, no. You haven't read JoJo past part 4, have you?
No, but I mean, you can still tell me. I'd still be interested. I don't mind spoilers too much.
Okay, I guess it's not a huge spoiler if you don't know why it happens, but it reminds me of the ending to part 6 of JoJo, where the main antagonist uses a stand that resets the universe to create it in his image.
Yeah, yeah. I know about that scene.
And when he does that, one of the supporting characters, like, kills him, and then the universe resets and goes back to normal, basically.
Hmm. I mean, obviously in Gintama, not to that big of an extent.
Yeah, but it got to a point where I was wondering if Gintama was kind of halfway referencing it, because they've referenced JoJo several times before, though mostly
oh, yeah.
In really small ways, aside from the stand arc. Not to be the, is this a JoJo reference guy?
Is that a motherfucking JoJo's reference? I kind of like that's a meme now, that's pretty great. So I don't know if you know this, John, but the ending of the Gintama arc was actually slightly different in the manga.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was actually changed for the volume releases, like, completely. It's nothing, like, too super different, but, like, basically what was so interesting about the change is that I believe in the original, basically how it played out is Kintoki was kind of left as sort of an unsympathetic character, where he was pretty much just like, oh, well, you know, I'll get you next time, Gintoki, or whatever. That's not exactly what happens, but it's been, I think, from what I'm seeing here, looking it up now, like, it looks like it's just, like, a few, like, lines of dialogue or whatever. Because the whole thing where, like, Kintoki's asking, where he's asking Gengai, hey, can you, like, give me a new polish or whatever? Can you make me sit? Like, that whole exchange, from what it looks like, from what I'm seeing here, doesn't look like it was in the original, it was in the manga originally. That was something that Sorachi added to the volume releases.
So I'm assuming Kintoki comes back later in that case.
I guess I might as well just say it, yeah. He does come back at some point. I won't tell you when, but he does.
I hope I like him then, because I sure don't want to see him again now. But that's how I... but that's how I felt about Kyubey at the end of the Yagyu arc, so...
and then she became one of the main characters, kind of, so...
but I like her a lot now. I just thought she was a jerk in her introductory arc.
I mean, that's totally fair, because obviously she did not go about things the right way in her introductory arc. I don't think she was supposed to be, well, I don't want to say she wasn't supposed to be super sympathetic, because you do get her backstory at the end, and that's all really unfortunate. It does, like, really, can really psychologically damage a person, which isn't cool, but I think up until that point, no, she's not very sympathetic.
Yeah, I agree.
But no, yeah, essentially, that's kind of the biggest change is that Gengai essentially is explaining to Kintoki why he ended up failing. You know, like, because Gengai is the one who suggests, oh, well, you know, why don't you change your color or something or whatever, change it from gold to silver, you know, that whole metaphor. Whereas Kintoki is the one who actually asks Gengai himself, hey, do you think you can give me coat of paint or whatever. So I think it's that little change in the detail that makes Kintoki, I guess, a bit more sympathetic a little bit, because it's, you know, it's not, again, it's a, like, a very minute change, but, like, I think it's important considering, again, yeah, it's not really a spoiler, like, he'll come back eventually. I won't say what his role is, but he does come back eventually, and I think that change really shows that, you know, a lot of, like, Kintoki is sort of thinking about his actions now, and maybe he's starting to see, like, you know, what he's done wrong in this case, and, you know, he's actually asking Gengai, well, hey, how can I basically make myself better? Like, how can I make myself more perfect of a main character, I guess, in this case, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I guess the important thing to take out of it is that, you know, Kin is the one who is actively, in this case, trying to make a change, whereas Gengai is originally Gengai was basically trying to telegraph the lesson to him, which I think is kind of an interesting change. I remember that being a bit of a big discussion on the Urozuya Soul forums, and that's when people started to believe, oh, maybe Kintoki will come back or whatever, which I never thought he would, honestly, but Sorachi has a way of surprising you. Again, Sorachi giving you things that you didn't know you wanted, which is great.
There's a big case of that in Curtis of a Nation, but we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah, but real quick, just to wrap up, I guess overall, did you like the arc?
I liked it a lot. Honestly, I liked all of the Inchosen arcs, and I would have called it a perfect season if it weren't for that last episode.
Hmm. You didn't like that last episode?
Yeah, but that's a whole discussion in and of itself. I just feel like Gintoki acted very cruelly for no good reason.
Yeah, I can see the argument for that. See, and that's why I keep telling people, hey, Gin's kind of an asshole, don't forget. But yeah, I guess that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm glad you like the Kintama arc, because again, it's an arc that means a lot to me as a as a fan of Gintama. And if I were to be like for real, I think Gintama would definitely be in like my top five, honestly, because it's I think I love it so much because it is such a character driven arc, and it's about the characters. It's literally about nothing else. And I think that's the most important thing about Gintama is its characters at the end of the day. So to get an arc that really serves that, I guess, that need or want for just good character interaction and good character development, I think really just scratched that itch for me, and which is why I think I love it so much. But yeah, I guess that's about it for this episode of Jumping Ahead. Thank you, John, for coming on. Where can the good people find you?
On Twitter, my handle is LeitungVG, LeitungVG, as always.
All right, cool. And you can find me on Twitter at SniperKing323. That's SNIPERKING323. This is your first time listening to Life Lessons. I promise this isn't how the show normally is. If you want to listen to our normal episodes of the podcast, you can listen to the podcast at gettolifelessons.wordpress.com. You should also follow us on Facebook.com, Twitter.com, and YouTube.com/GintaMangaCast. That's GintaMangaCast, GintaMangaCast. You should also subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. That's very important if you choose to do so. And we'll see you guys next time on another episode of Jumpin' Ahead.